So today we are continuing with what has been a series of Jesus' teachings to his disciples through the Gospel of Luke. And as we continue down the never-ending political journey of our nation, anybody watch a few debates or something this week? I've been staying away. It is fun to see how sometimes these gatherings are almost exactly like kind of town hall forums with Jesus. Come one, come all, ask your question. People are always calling out questions or concerns from the back of the room, it turns out, when Jesus is around. And so today, one comes from a person caught in a family dispute. He has a real issue from his life that he would like some help from Jesus with, a little something to do with inheritance and how that happens between him and his brother. But Jesus, well, kind of has something else he would like to talk about. And so listen for these words.
So this is from Luke 12, verses 13 to 21. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then Jesus told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And the rich man thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." So he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to the rich man, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God." Here ends the reading.
I think one of the reasons why my mind went to a political town hall as the metaphor for me on this story this week is because Jesus does kind of pull off that most familiar political maneuver here, the pivot, right? Anybody ever notice that politicians are not usually answering the question that was asked? I do want to say we never get any more information or clarity about this poor guy who shouted out his question from the back. We don't know if his brother was being unjust with the inheritance. We do know that eldest brothers generally got to do pretty much whatever they wanted to. And that was not particularly fair by our standards, I think we might say. But instead of adjudicating what may actually be a justice issue for this guy, Jesus gets down to even more basics here and answers a different question. He tells this parable, what is sometimes known as the parable of the rich fool, which is not how I would like to be remembered. Jesus tells a story and essentially asks, who convinced us that we could own stuff anyway? The satirical, kind of nasty and definitely not safe for church 90s movie that was like a big thing when I was growing up. It's called Fight Club. I don't recommend it. A lot of people didn't get that it was really kind of a jab at consumerism and masculinity and rebellion. They didn't catch the joke. It is a joke. But there's a line that's quoted in that. "The things you own end up owning you." At the very least, they make incredible demands on us. In the past 50 years, American homes have tripled in size to hold our stuff. 1 out of 10 Americans pay somebody else some money to go store stuff away from their property. So, this, you know, all those U-Haul storage centers, they're there for a reason. 1 out of 10 of us needs a whole nother place to put our stuff. We generate an abundance of stuff that we quite honestly can't afford to keep or maintain for any period of time, and so it just goes in the trash. How about you? How is your stuff doing? How are you doing with it? Have you had a yard sale in the last 5 years? Did my mentioning that make you suddenly start worrying about all the things that are piling up somewhere in an attic? Do me a favor from one generation to the next, will you please? Do some of that work about putting the post-it note underneath things ahead of time. Don't let your children end up screaming out things at Jesus from the back of the room. All of this stuff puts so many demands on us, on our relationships, on our space even, just the way that we exist. Jesus' teaching ministry was ingenious partly because he met people right where they were. An agrarian society organized around the family unit as the source of continuing capital. Families who were rich generally tended to stay rich. And so much has changed since then. Nobody going with me on that joke? Excellent. If we read this lesson carefully, though, from the tender kind of knife edge of existence that so many of Jesus' followers knew, we recognize a fact that can sometimes slip out of our American Protestant work ethic hearing. The parable starts like this. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. What produced abundantly? I'm sorry, did you say the hard work and bootstraps of the rich man? No, the land. The land produced abundantly. That he was lucky enough to be in possession of, maybe because he was already wealthy and could afford to buy land. The land produced abundantly, and the rich man is in a position to benefit from it. The foolishness of the rich fool is that in the lucky situation of living on the land that has produced so much that his barns are incapable of storing it. The barns themselves are overflowing. Barns apparently able to hold enough crops that he was already rich. His response is to build bigger barns. The question at the heart of this story is that most elusive question in our lives, the question of enough. What is enough? And I don't mean to suggest that everybody in the room has already hit that and overflowed it. I'm just suggesting that we hardly ever have that question in our lives. We hardly ever ask ourselves, when will it be enough? Enough stuff. Enough wealth. Enough space. When do our barns overflow? And when that happens, where do they flow to? So if you've asked yourself that question, when do I have enough? Then ask yourself the next one, when I have enough, where does the rest go? We are still learning, we have still not mastered the art of talking about faith and money, wealth and stuff. Jesus was talking about it then, and here we still are today. It makes it difficult for us to have these conversations with one another, and it makes it difficult even to have these conversations within ourselves. So I really do encourage you, what is enough? Ask that question. How will I know when I get there? What then? I do think we need to be careful here, because I don't want to call into question anyone in the room who has savings for retirement or a college fund for a relative or just some money saved for an emergency. I don't think that's what this parable is about. And partly, Jesus had a few things to say about preachers who have a log in their eye while there's a splinter in somebody else's. And, you know, I want to retire someday too. But I also think there's a lesson for us in what these barns mean in the ecology of our world. The lands produced abundantly without consideration for ownership. Those lands didn't know that it was a rich man. They didn't judge, well, you've worked really hard and therefore. It's just what the lands did. Our temptation is to divide and pen up that generative life. We know that, right? Here in this nation of so many natural resources, we are often obsessed with where the lines fall for us. We can live in worry and in self-security until we try to lock away what has been given to us as just a pure gift of life, of creation, dividing that which is ultimately one. It is all one creation. So I think the poet Wendell Berry, kind of a philosopher of earth and creation, I would say, he says, when Jesus speaks of having life more abundantly, this, I think, is the life he means, a life that is not reducible by division, by category or degree, but is one thing, heavenly and earthly, spiritual and material, divided only insofar as it is embodied in distinct creatures. Jesus is talking about a finite world that is infinitely holy, a world of time that is filled with life that is eternal. His offer of more abundant life is to become conscious, consenting, and responsible participants in the one great life. The land produced abundantly. How shall we share that life with all who dwell on the land and in creation? This is true for stuff. This is true for wealth. This is true for life. I also think on this day, less than 24 hours from the events in El Paso and in Dayton, Ohio, I think we need to be aware in this era of mass shootings and violence that sometimes we can treat safety and security into a finite resource. We can store it up for ourselves. While others suffer with the violent consequences of our inaction or our unwillingness to insist that an abiding sense of peace should be available to all. But here's the thing. There is enough. There is enough when we are called in communities of love and attention to that life which is abundant. If we can create more of those communities, more of those moments, more of those invitations to overflowing, we will be reminding others, just as we are reminded every time Jesus welcomes us to this table, to be fed. We can be reminded that each of us is enough, and there is enough for each of us. There is enough because Jesus insists on reminding us that those gifts which overflow our capacity are meant to bear witness to the abundance of God's love, not to our own sense of storing up and security. There is enough. We do not need more stuff. We need more friends. There is enough. We do not need more weapons. We need more safety for all. There is enough. We do not need higher walls from each other. We need homes for all. There is enough. We do not need bigger barns. We need bigger tables. May it be so. Amen.